This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Quotable quotes for 200, Alex.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I dug up this quote from former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers. Blaming speculators as a response to financial crisis goes back to the Greeks. It's almost always the wrong response. Is it? It's certainly a great topic for debate right now. Congress is looking at ways to put a clamp on speculation in the oil market. For example, limiting the number of oil contracts investors can buy at once. Our reporter Stephen Beer joins us from London. Stephen, I understand one thing U.S. regulators are looking at is something called the London loophole.
Well, the American regulator, the CFTC, has just told Congress that it's going to attempt to impose its regulations on this contract traded in London, because the feeling is that US-based oil traders are evading the American regulations, dealing directly with London.
But can a US regulator regulate trading in Britain?
Well, that's that is the $64,000 question. The CFTC says they're going to push ahead with this, and this loophole could be closed down within 3 months. But the exchange here in London says, yes, we'll accept these American regulations if the British regulator says it's okay. The British regulator is known to be very reluctant to do this. However, what it said this morning was, we're going to consult with the market and make a decision.
Well, I would imagine Britain and the U.S. share a common interest here, which is the price of oil.
Indeed, but the regulator here in London does not believe that it is speculative activity that is principally responsible for the rising price of oil. The regulator in the past has spoken on this subject and has said, we think there is a lot of hot money pouring into this market, but this is basically a matter of supply and demand.
All right, Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
And the price of oil this morning, $134 a barrel. Mixed results in the overseas stock markets. In Asia, stocks gained around 1% overall, but in Europe, shares are down about that much. Yesterday, the Dow fell 108 points, almost 1%, to 12,160. The Nasdaq dropped 17. The S&P 500 lost 9 points. Now let's talk about the price of ethanol. The floods in the Midwest have washed away some corn crops. That's pushed corn prices to record highs. So ethanol is going to be affected. The question is, how much? Here's Jeff Tyler.
The flood-related jump in corn prices could hurt some ethanol producers more than others. Bob Dineen is CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. It represents the U.S. ethanol industry.
There will be some issues, but it will be company-specific. It's not an industry-wide event.
Verisun Energy is one of those specific companies. It's one of the largest producers of ethanol in the U.S., making about 1 billion gallons annually. Spokesman Mike Lockram says climbing corn prices are hindering growth.
We are delaying the startup of two of our facilities in Hartley, Iowa, and Welcome, Minnesota, due to current market conditions.
And it's more than just corn prices.
In today's market, ethanol is undervalued.
With ethanol prices low and corn prices high, the profit margin for producers is shrinking. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Maybe the music business used to be about money for nothing and chicks for free. Now it's about getting music for free. Illegal downloads chipped away at CD sales once again last year. Album sales dropped 11% to their lowest level since 1985. So far, legal downloads aren't making up for the business. One of the top songs of 1985, by the way, take a guess.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com and by gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at gather.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, online at shrm.org.
One reason stocks fell yesterday was this warning from Goldman Sachs. The credit crisis is far from over. Losses from mortgage investing won't peak until next year, and banks will need another $65 billion to get through it. Ouch. But here's a less painful take on the credit market from commentator Will Wilkinson.
It used to be a lot harder to borrow money. You'd have to grovel to your rich uncle or talk with some guy named Rocco whose debt collection techniques emphasized mangled fingers. These days, it's hard not to have a credit card. Home loans are within easier reach, and there's even such a thing as a reverse mortgage. And if you find yourself in a tight spot at the end of the month, there's always a payday loan. Last week in his New York Times column, David Brooks complained that our increased reliance on personal debt is a sign of rampant decadence. But I say we need to give credit credit where credit is due. Saving and borrowing are both transfers from one stage of life to another. We begin at the bottom in our 20s and slowly work our way up until income peaks in our early 60s. Then we retire and live off savings and pension checks. When we're young, we typically need a lot more than we make. When we're a bit older, in our peak earning years, we typically make a lot more than we need. That's why it's rational for younger adults, who might need to pay for an education, a car, or a house, to borrow money from their future flush selves. The difference between borrowing and saving is paying to use money now versus being paid for waiting and letting others use it. Credit markets allow us to distribute consumption more evenly and more optimally over our lives. That leaves us better off than we would have been without them. Of course, managing debt can be complicated, and it's important to be responsible. But it also looks like we're doing fairly well. According to a new Gallup poll, 60% of Americans say they usually pay the full balance on their credit cards each month, and the percentage of people who carry balances is going down. And how about this virtue of thrift stuff? Does credit make us self-indulgent and lazy? Well, my student loan debt isn't paying itself off.
Will Wilkinson is with the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.